listening to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER with your host, Joel Kassam.
Hello and welcome to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER 107.3. Joel Kassam is my name. I hope you're doing very well and thank you for joining me this week. If you're new to the show, this is where I invite a special guest into the studio and they take the musical reins by playing four of their favourite songs. All right, let's find out who we've got this week. My guest today is an Australian magician and illusionist. Whether he is performing close up or on a grand stage, he will always leave audiences spellbound. Currently Australia's representative for David Copperfield's Project Magic, it's illusionist Jack Daniels. Welcome, Jack.
Hello, thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming in, mate.
Oh, thank you.
Magic, I love it. When did your love for it begin?
Oh, that's gone way back. I got interested in it when I was around 14. Around 14, I saw David Copperfield's show on TV, got hooked on it. Back then, I didn't know what magic was. To me, it just looked real. So I, you know, found out that, you know, the library, there was magic books and stuff like that. So I took out a few books, learned a few secrets of the trade. This went on for a while. But the funny thing that I didn't realize was, the interesting story behind it is, my great-grandfather was a magician.
Oh, back right.
He was a traveling magician. And this was kept unknown to me. For some whatever reason, my family, I think they thought that this is probably going to be one of those hobbies where it'll eventually wear out and I'll move on to be a doctor or a lawyer or something different. So after a while when, it was noticeable that this is what I want to make. This is the passion. This is I'm getting better at it. They revealed this trunk to me. So the story is basically my great-grandfather had the trunk. It was his traveling trunk. He had passed it on to his son, which was my grandfather. So when my grandfather passed away, he left it for me.
Right.
But it was completely put away. It was in storage. I had no idea about it. When my parents actually said, look, by the way, there was a magician in the family. It was your great-great-great-grandfather. This is for you. I'm like, well, what the hell is this? So I opened it up, and it was full to the top with his magic cards, sponge balls, all this stuff he used to do. And, you know, from that moment on, it was like, you know, wow, this is, I think I'm on the right track. I'm going to make this my life. And I've been doing it ever since.
Do you still own this trunk?
Yeah, I do. It's an old steamer. Like, the thing is going to fall apart. It's an old steamer trunk. We restored it a number of years ago, back when I was in high school. I was remodifying it a bit, just to give it a clean and stuff like that. Funny enough, the bottom lining of the trunk gave way.
Oh.
To find that there was a hidden compartment inside it. So it was quite mind-blowing. There was a hidden compartment, and inside this compartment, it sounds like a movie, but you know the Prestige movie?
Yeah.
It's exactly like the situation like that. There was a diary of a magician.
Wow.
Dating back to the 18th century. It was a German magician called the Great Lafayette. He used to be one of magic's highest paid entertainers of that time. He was actually even higher than Harry Houdini back in the day.
Wow.
So how this book got into my grandfather's hands, unfortunately, no one in the family knows about it. There's nothing written on it, anything like that. But this book essentially was all his life, the Great Lafayette's life, his journey, his travels, some illusion drawings. Obviously, it was all in German, so we had to get it translated. But from the sketches and stuff, there was allusions on it, how to different ways to cut people in half. And he used to do this big thing called the Lion's Bride, where a female, one of his assistants, changed into a lion. All these secrets were inside this journal. And I'm like, you know, I've got something really powerful here. So we kind of locked it away, put in a nice perspex, got a framing thing done for it so it doesn't get destroyed over time. But I hold a bit of magic history.
Is that something you still use? Or are tricks now evolving?
On and off. I mean, gee, the last time I had probably opened this diary was maybe 10 years ago, right, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It's all locked away nicely, but there's stuff in there, like, it's kind of hard to say with magic, especially with my industry, with illusions. We always refer back to the old methods of what you know, how they used to do it back in the day, but the times have changed so much that the way of thinking is different to what it used to be back in the day. So sometimes if I need inspiration, or, you know, I might get an idea of, we want to make someone disappear, let's try and invent something new. To get a bit of inspiration, I might look into the old manuscripts, see how it used to be done, and try and see how can we modify it? How can we make it a bit better? To fit the modern age.
Yeah.
Not that book in particular, the journal. I haven't really opened it for a long time. I'm afraid it might fall apart. I don't want to destroy it.
That's fair enough. Were there, other than David Copperfield, other magicians you looked up to?
No, not really. David from day one. He was my inspiration. I watched all his shows. I studied the guy because the way David moves on stage is very different. So David brought charisma to magic. Mm. He brought the whole sex appeal, the dance, the theatrical stuff. Before him, you know, it was more sparkly clothes and glitter and sequence and all that. So David kind of brought more of the just that rock image. It looked funky on stage, and I liked that. He was the only one that I studied really well. The way the whole theatrical side of things is put together, the lighting, how the music complements the lights and the dancing, the choreo. So, David Copperfield's probably been the only guy I've actually learned from.
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, look, we're going to talk about David Copperfield a little bit later. But for now, you're on Old New Borrowed Blue here on 2SCR. And my guest today is illusionist Jack Daniels, and he's choosing the music. So what's your old song and why have you chosen it?
My old song, this was very difficult because I've got a massive library of music. I'm an 80s kid. I love 80s music. But trying to find something that would work today, I thought, why not start with an Aussie-made one, something that's made in our own backyard, and none other than John Farnham. And the song is Playing to Win. I chose it because it's a, well, listen to the lyrics and find out. I'm playing to win. If you want me, come and get me.
Playing to Win, the Little River Band there with Whispering Jack himself, John Farnham, leading the way. My guest today is magician Jack Daniels. Now, do you prefer doing close-up magic or magic on stage? Which is better for you?
My specialty has always been from day one, more on stage, more on the theatrical side of magic. Close-up, I still do. I do a lot of close-up for corporate events and stuff like that around the country. it's a bit of a 50-50. Close-up's great because it's right there in your face. It's close proximity. People haven't really experienced close-up as opposed to seeing it on TV. So it's a different vibe for them as well. And, you know, some stuff that happens in the spectator's own hands, it's quite impressive. So that's good about it. But at the same time, I like to be more on the grand scale, the grand side of magic, where everyone's sitting down watching the show, amazing things happening on stage, the whole rock show theme is what I prefer more.
Okay, cool. Now, when you are on stage, you have assistants with you and stuff,
correct,
don't you?
Yep.
How is it all choreographed? Is it a lot of practice?
Yeah, normally an illusion, when we come up with some sort of an illusion, it takes approximately 6 months up to even a year at times just to even get it ready for the stage. Yeah. Obviously, because you got to keep in mind, we might get the idea, then we build the illusion out of a mock-up, make sure it's going to work, the girl's not going to die in the box or anything like that. And then we get a prototype, sort of some prototype made up of it. We test that out, and then once we're happy with it, we get the main one built, which comes from America. I've got a builder in the States, Rich Hill. He builds all my stuff, and then once we arrive, during that time, obviously, the music, you got to find out the choreography, what music's going to complement the illusion, what do you want the audience to feel? Is it something dangerous? Is it more exciting? Is it funky? And I've got some pretty brilliant dancers that work with me. So we sit down, I say, look, this is the music. Let's just brainstorm. What can we come up with?
Yeah, right.
And it all comes. It takes a lot of time. There's a lot of mental
and then
stress.
Once you do have it, once you do have it all sorted, how often are you then practicing?
Any chance we get.
Okay.
We will practice any chance we get until it's perfect. Sometimes during some of the shows, we might add elements of it in the show just to test it out, see how the audience are going to react to it. It's always, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
So you might think at the time it's perfect, and then, you know, 4 months later on, it might completely backfire. It doesn't work anymore. So we've got to sit down and assess, okay, what went wrong? What did we do wrong this time that didn't the first time? And maybe the audience's thinking have changed, or maybe someone has already seen the method, so it's no longer surprising for them. So there's always improvements, small fine tweaks here and there.
Okay. And what about then when you're doing close-up magic?
Close-up is different. Close-up with me, I don't consider myself great in close-up stuff.
All right.
I do a pretty awesome number of awesome effects, but I'm not. I wouldn't call myself the best close-up magician. More best in the grand side of things, but with close up, it's different because it's more. How can you describe it without giving too much away? It's all to do with the manipulation skills, misdirection. You try to be able to distract the person because, even though on stage comparing it to an illusion, you've got the lights and all that stuff. They're very easy to blind the audience. So if you don't want the audience to see certain parts of the stage, just shine a spotlight in their eyes and they won't see anything.
Sure.
Whereas close up, you're right there. You're away from the lights. You're away from the spotlights.
Yeah.
You do one wrong move, or someone could be walking from behind you. They'll watch you from the back, and they've seen it. So you have to have a lot more control when you're doing close up magic.
Very interesting. All right, Jack. It's time for you to play your new song now.
Yes.
What have you chosen?
This is. It's not a new one, but it's new for me. 12 months ago, somehow I found this guy called Jake Owen. He's an American guy, really awesome, really funky guy. He's a country singer, but it's not really a traditional country song. It's a bit more, it's still funky-ish, so I've been kind of liking his tracks. And the track's called Barefoot Blue Jean Night.
Full moon shining bright, edge of the water, we were feeling all right. Back down a country road, the girls are always hot and the beer is ice cold. Cadillac, horns on the hood, my buddy Frankie had his dad hook him up good. Girls smile when we roll by, they hop in the back and we cruise to the riverside. Never gonna grow up, never gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. We were doing it right, we were coming alive. Yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Blue eyes and
an auburn hair, sitting looking pretty by the fire in a lawn chair. New to town and new to me, her ruby red lips was sipping on sweet tea. Shot me a look like a shooting star, so I grabbed a beer and my old guitar. Then we sat around till the break of dawn, howling and singing our favorite song. Whoa. Never gonna grow up. Whoa. Never gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. We were doing it right. We were coming alive. Yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Whoa, oh, never gonna grow up. Never gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. We were doing it right. We were coming alive. Yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. A barefoot blue jean night. A barefoot blue jean night. A barefoot blue jean night.
It's a bit of country music here on 2SER. That was Barefoot Blue Jean Night by Jake Owen. Can you tell us a little bit about David Copperfield's Project Magic?
Yeah, David Copperfield's Project Magic, it's basically a program that we use that uses magic as a form of therapy for people who have some sort of disability, low self-esteem, brain injuries, all that stuff, spinal cord injuries. And what it does is the same skills as what we magicians use to fool enemies. Those same skills, those same principles get applied to the patient's therapy process. And what it does in the long run, it gives the person a skill that, number one, most able-bodied people don't have, they can't do. But at the same time, it works as a conditioning tool that allows a patient to learn how to open their hands, maybe start to recognize numbers, mathematics, learn to tie their shoelace, for example. It's been running at the Nepean Hospital up in Penrith for a while now. We've got an amazing team over there, doctors and therapists who run it. And it's amazing. It's active in over 30 countries with over 1,000 hospitals now.
Wow.
It's a really rewarding program using magic for something more beneficial other than just fooling someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the patients get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
It builds their self-esteem. They get confidence. They show it to their families. And, here is someone with a disability in a wheelchair who can't walk, but they can still do something that their family, their loved ones can't do. And their self-esteem just skyrockets from there.
It's incredible. I really love this idea. How did you get involved with it?
David actually launched the program in Australia. I think it was in 90... Oh, I don't know what year it was. It was a while back. So I got in touch with David after that just to find out a bit more about it and how it works and stuff like that. So we had a few Skype calls with David. He sent us the book, the handbook. And at the time, we were doing a fundraising show for autism. And I thought, what a great way to reintroduce this for autistic kids. It's magic. It's kids. They love it. So ever since then, I've been running it myself. And then we caught up with some of the doctors to show them what it is and, how it works. And for example, Dr. Sheen from the Nepean Hospital, he's an amateur magician as well. So he straight away saw the benefit of it. The Royal Rehab Center in Ryde, they've been using it on and off as well. People started hearing it left, right, and center. So, it's all to do with David's help. His team kind of helped us out, kind of guide us in the right directions, and kicked off really well.
Yeah. So does that mean you've actually met David Copperfield?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We met David because I'd done a few Skype calls. He actually joined in one of our therapy sessions that we had done at the Nepean Hospital. He gave his time. He was actually on his islands at the Bahamas.
Oh, right.
So we got a Skype call. He did a Skype call, and the patients were Skyping with David and showing him what they had learned. He's a really cool guy. He gives a lot of time for things like this, which is great.
I think that's excellent, and I think the work you're doing is truly fantastic.
Thank you.
Jack Daniels is picking the music today, and now you have to play your borrowed song for
us.
What have you chosen?
I have chosen Daryl Braithwaite of the Horses, which was I borrowed it off my wife before we got married.
Oh, okay.
It was one of her first favorite songs. She had made a CD for me. And yeah,
Okay, this is a great choice.
The rest is a story.
Daryl Braithwaite here with the horses. Absolute classic there, The Horses by Daryl Braithwaite. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Old New Borrow Blue on 2SER. My guest today is magician Jack Daniels, and I'm very excited now because Jack is going to actually show me a trick. Now, I've said this many times before, this show is probably the most visual show on radio, which is fine because we're going to do some magic.
There we are.
I'm going to do my best to explain what's going on as you do it. But I'm sorry, I'm just really excited and Okay, I'm just going to let you start.
All right, very, very simple.
Okay, cool.
The listeners at home can actually experience this themselves. So I've got a deck of cards in my hands. They're all
you
different
sure
cards.
Do. Yes.
Okay. And what we're going to do is I'm going to riffle through the pack and I want you to call out stop. Whenever you say stop, we'll use that card.
Okay. All right.
So say stop when you're ready.
Stop.
Right there. Are you happy with that choice?
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
Take out the card. Have a look at it.
this top card here? Okay,
yeah, I'm just taking the
top card where I cut.
And have a look at it. Check it out.
Yes, I can see it.
And what card did you get? What is it?
I'm happy to tell you that it's the Six of Spades.
Six of Spades. See, what's amazing is normally I play this game. Now, this may work. It may not work. I have no idea. Well, I know. But normally when I go out to meet new people, mm-hmm. I play a game just to see how well we're going to be connected.
Sure.
So last night, believe it or not, I actually fanned out these cards on a table. And I chose one card. One card I figured, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go for this. This something tells me, my gut tells me to go for this card. I took a photo of that card and I put it up on my Facebook.
Okay.
Now, we are, what today is what, Saturday?
Yes, it's Saturday. This is a pre-record, everyone.
Yeah. Saturday the 6th, yeah, pre-recorded. But you've chosen the Six of Spades.
I have.
Now, if viewers, listeners go into my Facebook page, if they go into The Magic of Jack Daniels or just search Jack Daniels Magician on Google, you'll come across all my stuff. That's what I've put on my Facebook. Have a read of it.
Oh, my God. For some reason, I wanted to take this photo tonight. Today is Friday the 15th of June, 2018, and the current time is 9:30 p.m., and there is, of course, a picture of the card I'm holding in my hand.
And that is a Six of
that
Spades.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Premonition.
Well done. Thank you so much. Everyone should jump online and when we take the photo later for this show, we'll hold this card up so everyone knows.
Good.
Oh, that's incredible. Thank you so much for doing that. How often are you coming up with tricks like this?
All the time. Well, as much time allows. It's any chance you get late night. For some reason, all the ideas come.
Yeah, well, it comes to you just at any time and you think, okay, I'm going to try this now.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's amazing.
And if you want the lottery numbers, I'll tell you off air.
But, thank you so much. Do you have a favorite trick?
My favorite trick, well, I don't really call them tricks because tricks kind of sound a bit like birthday party things.
Okay.
I don't really do tricks. I do illusions. So I guess my favorite illusion that I would do would probably be a snow effect. We did this in a big theatrical 2-hour grand illusion show that we had done where I produced snow from my hands.
Oh, wow.
And filled up the entire auditorium with snow that I've created from my hands. And it's one of my favorites because there's a very sentimental storyline with a little girl I had met through Project Magic who passed away because she had cancer. So it's a very emotional story and tribute in honor of her. We created this whole effect just for her. And it's a very... emotional piece in the show. It's probably my away from all the big stuff that I do, you know, cutting people in half and making them levitate and making motorbikes appear and all this stuff, just producing snow from my hands with a very nice story. It's a very heartwarming effect.
Yeah, that sounds beautiful. So does magic still amaze you?
Not as much. And I think this falls purely for the fact that we know what's going on behind the scenes. And this is one of the reasons why I don't think it's good for the public to know how we do these stuff, because it kind of ruins the whole, the fun of it goes away.
Mm.
You know, we go see a magic show or we might go see David's show or some of our other friends' shows. And I look around, everyone's in amazement. You know, their jaws are on the floor. Some of the people, they've got a reaction that at that time you can start a religion with their face expressions, you know. So, but with us, we've seen what is happening and where, you know, what's going on here and there. So it doesn't really have the same impact. What I generally try to look for now is more, what are the audience responding to? How are the audience reacting to it? Are they liking it? What did they find funny about a piece? Or did they find it interesting? Did someone doze off? Was it boring for them? So to me, when I go to see a show, I'm not really so much watching the performance. I'm watching what is happening around.
Yeah.
And mostly watching the audience's reactions and what they're responding to.
Very cool. Jack, before I let you go, I have to ask, where can people see you next?
We actually have a show coming up in July, the 21st of July, I believe it was, at the Sydney Star Bar, the old Planet Hollywood.
Okay.
Which is just somewhere nearby here.
Yes.
We are doing not so much my illusion show. It's more of a one-man Jack Daniels up close and personal. A very, very small venue. Only holds about 50 people. So just doing a small show. A lot of new material. So I think tickets are on sale now, or you can go on to eventtopia.co.co. Just type in Jack Daniels and you'll see it there. So that would be the one. Excellent. To check out for the time
okay,
being.
Great. If you want more info on Jack and where to find him, jump on magictobelieve.com. Jack Daniels, thank you so much for coming in and being a guest on Old
Thank you so much for having us.
And now, to finish the show, you have to take us out with your blue song.
My blue song, yeah. Well, it's not really a blue... Oh, yeah, I guess it could be a blue song. It depends on how you look at it. I have chosen one that just reminds me of my wife and child a lot. The words are very strong. It's by Staind, and it's called Tangled Up in You.
Thank you very much, Jack.
From the rain, you're the pills that take away my pain. You're the light that helps me find my way. You're the words when I have nothing to say. And in this world where nothing else is true, here I am still tangled. Still tangled up in you. Still tangled up in you. You're the fire that warms me when I'm cold. You're the hand I have to hold as I grow old. You're the shore when I am lost at sea. This world.